Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including in Tuca, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Again, if you're watching on the simulcast side, NBC Sports Boston, where they still show those old photos, Maz, of you and I walking around the North End 8 years ago or something.
Nine.
With my fat, stupid face. I don't know. Fat face Felger.
You don't even look like that anymore.
Fat.
He doesn't know. He is.
No,
he was
fat.
He was fat. Look
not
at him.
I mean, not only got a huge gut, but like my face. All the fat goes in my face. Fat. Stupid face.
Some quality booze bloat in that photo.
Yeah, look at those photos.
Yeah, those are promo photos for the Maz and Gress show.
They're painful to look at. I would say swap them out, but I'm done. I don't want to pose for pictures because those days are painful. Walk around like a couple of schmucks in the North End with the newspaper.
I'm told those are coming soon.
On park benches. I ain't going out. I'm not doing another photo shoot. They got to be like action shots or something. They got to come in and just shoot us doing this.
It's going to be in the studio, apparently.
Fine.
Good. I'm okay with in the studio.
You know, walk around the North End.
I can hide.
Southie.
But my God.
Walk around Dorchester.
Stupid fat face. So if you watched on the TV side, you don't hear the update. Murray, again, who talked to who at training camp today?
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick conversing on the field. This according to Karen Grigian of the Boston Herald.
Okay. So it was the first time they'd interacted that we've seen, we meaning the public eye, on the field during these practices. They never crossed paths apparently during the mini camps, and no one has seen him talk since the Super Bowl. So today they did. No pictures, I guess, but
nope.
Okay.
No
but
pictures.
Karen Grigian saw it. So it happened.
If you want a more, here's, I pulled it up here for a more thorough description. Tom Brady had his helmet off. He was listening intently, nodded a bunch of times to whatever points that Belichick was making. From afar, Belichick, who gestured quite a bit with his hands during the conversation, perhaps to make a point or emphasize what was being discussed, held court for several minutes with his four-time Super Bowl MVP.
Okay. So we were having fun about what it could have been said. Well, Maz, do you have a thought on what Belichick has to say or tell to Brady? Is there what among all these other things, Guerrero, the contract, whatever else may be between them, is there something else that he's got to get Brady on his side over?
I mean, I haven't given any thought. You just sprung this on me, so I haven't thought about it. But go ahead.
So maybe someone else emailed me this morning. Doesn't Bill need Brady's buy-in on Malcolm Butler?
Sorry, yes.
That was you, right?
Yeah. No, I think that. So I heard the discussion this morning, and it was when Shaughnessy was on with Toucher and Rich about how does Bill have to talk to the team about the Malcolm Butler decision? And I started thinking about it, and I said, if Bill really wants to get by it, he's got to make sure Brady buys in. If Bill wants credibility with the team, he's got to make sure Brady's in lockstep when decisions are made during the course of the year. If Brady's not, it opens the door up for all the other guys to say, well, what the hell's going on here now? Like, losing Brady for Bill, that's no easy thing. Like, he runs the risk of losing other guys in the locker room if he loses the quarterback.
So if he has no answers on Butler for us, that's one thing. He's got to have one for Brady because he's got to get Brady. He can't have Brady not buying in on this because if Brady's undermining him, then the locker room's gone.
I just think he's got to have Brady on board. He's got to now, and I think the Butler thing leads to that. It's part and parcel of that. Like, he's got to have Brady, you know, committed. He's got to have Brady buying in and pointing in the right direction. That has to exist. If that's gone, they're in trouble. At the first sign of adversity, they're in trouble because Brady will be muttering under his breath, well, here we go again.
Yeah, you know, didn't they give, who'd they give number 21 to this year? They gave it to someone. And you don't want Brady.
Daron Harmon.
They gave it to Daron Harmon. You don't want Brady walking by Daron Harmon in the locker room going, be careful, Daron, or you'll get benched. He doesn't like 21. You don't want that happening.
Sorry, I had my head up my butt as usual.
No.
I wasn't getting where you were going.
No, there. So there you go. That, You know, he doesn't owe us answers. Does he owe the team answers on Butler? Debatable.
Well, remember, Bedard wrote this, too, that at the time of the Mankins deal, that Brady, that Belichick ended up having to call in some key members of the team to talk to him about the Mankins decision. And Brady was one of them, right?
Yeah.
So, to me, this is a similar type of thing.
So, here's what's going to complicate it. And I agree. He needs Brady. If you want the locker room, you need the best player. Like, it's just, that seems sort of self-evident. Which, again, speaks to just this borderline dysfunction that's going on down there internally. So, he needs Brady. What if there's no good explanation? What if, and this is what I've sort of arrived at. There is no reason. Nothing happened. Why did he bench Butler? Because he wanted to. He didn't like the kid. And the kid showed up late for the week. And Brady and Belichick had reached the point where screw him. You know, he wouldn't take our contract offers. He's busting our balls on the contract. He didn't even have a good year. He's freelancing on the field. He's late for stuff off the field during the year. We got to hold his hand. Now we show up to the Super Bowl and he shows up on Tuesday after getting intravenous fluids, but we don't even know if he went to the hospital. F you. Take a seat. I can win without you. Because that's what happened. That's what happened, folks. Nothing happened. Nothing beyond that. Just this, you know, a bad relationship reaching a point where he shows up late for the Super Bowl and Bill says, screw you. Take a seat. In other words, no good reason. No good reason to keep him on the bench. It wasn't enough to keep him out of uniform, obviously, because he played. And he would have played on special teams, but to keep him off the defense, it's just Bill. So there's really no good explanation. What does he say to Brady if there's no good explanation?
Tom, I screwed up. That's what he says. Tom, I screwed up. Okay, so look, you know, I thought we could win the game without him. I made the wrong decision. It probably hurt us. So I'm willing to turn the page of you. Because we need to, if we're going to focus on 2018, we need to focus on 2018.
Do you really think that he has that level of humility in him to deal with Brady like that right now?
Believe it or not, I think at one time, yes.
But right now, no.
So right now, Murray, I don't know. But I think at one time he could call Brady in and he could say, Tom, look, okay, some things didn't go the way we wanted them to go. So I'm, you know, you played your ass off in that game. And, you know, if I could do it over, would I? Probably. But because I think Bill's capable of showing humility to people he needs to show it to. I do. He doesn't show it to the most of the world on a regular basis, but I think he's capable of it.
This is such an easy one. Like, that's an easy one. If Bill can't do that, shame on you. To win Brady back, to try and win Brady back and keep your locker room together. Like, that's an easy one. I was wrong. Just try it. It's fine. Everything's much better after you do that. I was wrong. So easy, Bill. The next stuff is harder. And then Brady says, okay, Bill, I accept that on Butler. Thanks. How about my trainer? How about my trainer? Because I could use a little rub down here on the field after practice.
Well, you know what Bill says there. Let's not cross streams here, pal. Let's stick on one topic.
What does Bill say to that? And then Tom says, well, also, how about this?
I think
there's one more, Bill. I mean, I think I'm the 17th highest paid quarterback in the league or something. Or maybe it's 12th. I'm not sure, but I make about half what I should. You got anything for me on that?
And it's because of those two reasons. I don't think he would open up on the first because that opens up the floodgates for Brady to ask for these other things. Bill's too proud. And again, it all comes down to chain of command with him. He's going to capitulate to an underling, even though it's the most successful quarterback of all time. He's not going to do it.
See, but again,
I made the decision. You live with it.
No, Murray, you're right about the timing of it. Now, no. But Mike, was it the 2009 documentary where Brady made a bad throw in practice? And Bill went over to him and, you know.
No, it was the first game against Buffalo. That's where Brady's voice cracked.
Yeah, right. That one.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that one.
Week one against Buffalo.
Then what are you doing? Well, that throw. No, I hit him in the hands. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but what struck me about that exchange between them, among other things, is the way Belichick scolded him. He did it in a really soft way. He's like, come on, buddy. Like, what are you doing?
Step into it.
Yeah, again, what
step
year?
Step into the throw.
What year was that?
So, but this tells me that it's there with Belichick.
That might as well be a million years
agreed.
Ago.
Agreed. No, agreed. Couldn't agree more, Murray. But I'm just saying that he is capable of it. He's capable of it. And to me, it's that exchange that makes me believe, yes, there was a time when he communicated with Brady like that, and they were open and honest and no problem.
I just think they're talking, good sign.
Maybe.
Not the biggest deal in the world. They spoke. They were taught. You don't think Karen's telling the truth on that?
No. Spoke, but what?
They spoke.
I just don't know how good a sign it is.
I don't care if they talked about, you know, some good paleo recipes or whatever. Just start talking.
Belichick gestured quite a bit with his hands during the conversation, perhaps to make a point.
I don't care that you want an answer on Butler. You're not getting it, you diva.
Yeah, I'm not letting Guerrero back in over my dead body.
Like, no chance.
Fine. Even if they're just doing that, it's a start. It's a start, and I don't know how much communication there has been between those guys.
I'm telling you, man, there were big cracks there. That thing is wounded forever.
I'm just stunned. Like, what are you doing, Patriots? I think they did it when there's a certain amount of time the cameras are allowed on the field and the cameras have to go, but the reporters can stay out and watch. I think that's the way they do it. That's the way they used to. So, like, do that with the cameras there. And then you get the pitcher and you get the PR and then you get some of the fans going, bleh, see, fake news. Bleh, it's all made up. And then you get that ball rolling. Like, they're all off their game. They're off their game. You know, you got to stage a little something for the cameras, get the picture in the paper, get the picture circulated on the web. Boy, that's old fashioned for me to say that. Get the picture in the paper. You get the picture circulated on Twitter and whatnot. You get all the fans see fake news, and you start to turn the narrative. They're off their game. I'm telling you, they're off their game. We talk about all of this still with the Red Sox conversation as well, right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom's never missed anything that's been required.
The relationship between you and him is all good right now?
I feel like I have a good relationship with all of our players. Hope so.
Were you ever concerned that he wasn't going to be committed to this season?
No.
Belichick on Brady this morning, clarifying one thing I thought was interesting. And that is, you know, there was this word out there that Brady showed up early, like 3-4 days early to camp, that he sort of promoted himself. Again, last week, the Patriots sent out an Instagram 5 days to training camp, and Brady commented like, no, 2 days. And he showed up, you know, 3-4 days early.
Hashtag early reporters is what he put there, too.
There you go. Hashtag early reporters. Sort of given the impression that he's showing up early, and it's sort of how that was portrayed or reported. Well, as Belichick clarified there, it turns out that was the quarterback reporting day. Like pitchers and catchers in training camp, as I said earlier, there's different reporting days for different groups, and injured players, rookies, and quarterbacks have to report early before everybody else, before the veterans report. So Brady just showed up on the day that he was required to with his position group. It wasn't any earlier than that. And so Bill sort of made sure we knew that in that answer there.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, you know, to me, this tells you that there's still some level of, you know, all right, cut the bull crap. You know, tell the world this thing when the reality is it's something else. You were supposed to be here. And the other thing is that part of it that, you know, starting with the Brady, the throwing the message out there in the first place, tells me that maybe Brady's a little worried that people thought he was, you know, cutting out on stuff and not quite as committed.
Definitely.
So Brady wanted that out there. Like, no, I'm all in now. Here we go. I'm ready to go. Oh, thanks, Tom. Nice of you to show up. Appreciate it.
Even though he wasn't early. He showed up when Brian Hoyer showed up. So anyway, to your phones on all of this. Rocco and Saugus. What do you got, Rocco?
Hey, listen. I just want to talk about Belichick for 1 minute. If you give me 1 minute, please. I don't know where he got this title that he's a brilliant man, a brilliant coach. I mean, honestly, like, you know, he never really invented anything or brought anything new to the football. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything that he's done because he's a great player.
So, Rocco, your phone's not good enough for me to give you more than that. He's disputing this notion that Belichick's a brilliant coach. He's a brilliant coach. Would you come on?
No, the best ever. He's the best I've ever seen.
Here's what I would dispute, that he's brilliant with the media. Like, he gets all this credit for the way he treats the media and ignores the noise and keeps everybody at bay and protects his team. And I think that's complete nonsense. I don't think it takes any skill whatsoever to take a dump at the podium. It takes nothing. It takes nothing to say no comment, which is basically what he's doing, right? For all intents and purposes, he's just taking the fifth and saying no comment. That takes no skill. The skilled media guys, Maz, are ones that make it sound like they're giving you something, but at the end of the day, haven't told you anything either. Like, and again, I mentioned yesterday, Doc Rivers could do it. I think Terry Francona on his good days did it. Parcells was the master at it, where Parcells would fill your notebook. It sounded interesting. And then you go back and, like, really dig into the content, and he didn't tell you anything either. But
but there was a colorful quote there to carry the, you know, distraction.
To carry it, right, to distract you and deflect you. Like, that's what the brilliant media guys do. And the Patriots have had a bunch of players like that. Rodney Harrison was great at that. Vrabel, you know, interesting guys to talk to. Felt like they were giving you something. Certainly filled up your notebooks. Certainly gave you something to write. But at the end of the day, they didn't tell you any secrets either. That's what a skilled media guy does. Bill has none of that. He is such an overrated media guy. It's not even funny. It doesn't take anything to plead the fifth. It takes nothing. Takes nothing to say no comment.
I think he sucks at dealing with the media, frankly. Like, not only do I not give him credit, I think he blows at it. But to me, Belichick's greatest asset is his focus. As a coach, he gets his team to focus. He really demands it. He sucks them in, which is all well and good. At the same time, I think sometimes it works against him, and now you're seeing it. Brady, Gronk, it's no fun. The guy never lets up. So at some point, you know, those guys have been around it so much where they just say, can you lighten up a little bit, Justin, and just let us breathe?
Justin and Lynn on the Red Sox, what do you got?
Justin, I
can't do that phone. His comment line said, Joe Kelly is terrible.
Yeah, he is.
This is a big issue because previously this season, you would look at it and say, Joe Kelly's going to kill you. He's going to get you in trouble. It's not good enough. We need an upgrade. But he's actually doing the job for the time being, and you're 6 games in first place. That hasn't been happening recently. He's got 12 ERA this month.
Yeah, no. He's been brutal of late. And look, to me, this was a matter of time. Like, the guy's been around long enough where I don't think all of a sudden overnight he's going to turn into Mariano Rivera. So look, you might get good little runs, but this ultimately... This is in any sport. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. This is what separates pretty decent players from really good ones. The guys who can stay there, can pitch consistently all year long. And they might have one little blip here or there, but it doesn't last a month. Nothing like it. You can't rely on this guy in a playoff game. What do you want, drugs? No.
He didn't make it to July, it turns out. Steven Rockland. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I just can't get behind this this Red Sox optimism. Like, oh, neat. Whee! The Red Sox are on pace to set the franchise record for wins. Whee! They have Alex Cora. Great. You have Joe Kelly, the wild thing, coming out of the bullpen. Who the hell knows what you're getting out of there? Your second best starter is too concerned with Fortnite to care about anything else. Hmm. And JD Martinez, I'm sorry, he just reeks of someone that's going to mash in the regular season and he's just going to crap a Tuukka Rask turd in the postseason. And one final stat, the Red Sox have won 257 wins over the past two and two-thirds seasons, and they have one playoff win. That's as many playoff wins as the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pathetic.
You must do a lot of listening to the baseball reporters with Tony Maz and Big Jim Murray. That's all I know. That is one negative Red Sox fan. You've probably infected that fella.
I mean, they've won 93 the last 2 years, okay? Let's say they do get a .110 and then lose in the first round again.
So we're going to rip them now in July for something might happen in 3 months.
I didn't say rip them. I just said...
Yes.
I said... I just said, what if... They get to that number. They get to some ridiculous number. They are really the best team in baseball at the end of the year, based on the regular season, and then they lose in the first round.
It's totally on the table.
I mean, how do you
pitching staff?
And go ahead, Murray.
No, just in that none of them have won a playoff game, and that there's still holes here, especially in the bullpen. I mean, what teams in recent memory have mashed their way to a World Series championship? That 0-2 Angels team, maybe. They could finish with 110 wins and definitely be out in the first round, thus the asterisk.
That Angels team had a massive bullpen. A massive, as it turns out, steroid-fueled bullpen.
Oh, no, and that was Francisco Rodriguez when he was 20 years old.
But be that as it may, bullpen. Your bullpen sucks. And the one guy who sucked but was pitching well is Joe Kelly, is now pitching sucky.
He walked Chris Davis the other night. Chris Davis... He's the worst player in baseball.
And according to Dave Dombrowski, folks, this is Dave Dombrowski speaking. You had a chance to get Zach Britton.
Well.
But instead, you chose Nathan Eovaldi. So.
Well, we talked to them.
No, you, I mean, again.
Well.
Listen, I read the Globe. The Nathan Eovaldi thing was a coup. A massive upset. And I listened to Nesson. Let's hear the Nesson report again. Folks, you had a chance. Your bullpen is in shambles. And you had a chance to get the best bullpen arm out there. And. Well, you chose Nathan Eovaldi.
The Red Sox acquired Nathan Eovaldi to bolster their pitching staff. But make no mistake, they could have had Zach Britton if they wanted to, according to Dave Dombrowski.
Well, we talked to them.
So you could have had You could have had Zach Britton.
Well.
And you chose a fourth starter. So, I don't know. Let's see how that all pans out. Here's an update from Murray.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wasted our time. We had a win taken away from us. The league is out to get us. Big bad Orioles.
That's Adam Jones again. I just encourage you. Go to the replays of the podcast on 98.5thesportshub.com. 98.5thesportshub.com app. Great app. Great product. So good I use it. And I don't use any apps. But it's tremendous. It's really easy to find the replays. You want to hear that whole Adam Jones thing. The Red Sox crying last night about the postponement in Baltimore.
Why would Orioles starting these games? Why would they do that to us? Why? Life isn't fair.
So, I don't know if it's his best work, but what? It what?
Oh, it was, I mean, the long, you should really go listen to it because it was long and it was awesome. What? He ended up like imitating Jimmy. He was imitating Dan Lifshatz. Like,
which you should win a Marconi for.
Everyone that was bitching about this last night, like the Orioles should be embarrassed. They should have shame on them for doing this. Oh, it was great.
Wasted our time. We had a win taken away from us. The league is out to get us. Big bad Orioles.
What's Lifshatz upset because he lost money on it?
Like, oh, it was a whole thing. It was great.
What was his Jimmy impression?
He was going after him, too, about, like, you know, tweeting about it because Jimmy was upset.
Jimmy, you think the Red Sox got screwed up?
Oh, absolutely. Buck Showalter has nothing else to do, so he might as well torture the Red Sox by allowing them to start the game and then knowing that the forecast was going to come in. I mean, the punishment to the Orioles should be severe here. MLB should do an investigation. They should fine the Orioles, suspend them, probably have them forfeit the season, and then have the Orioles forfeit their draft picks for the next 12 years to the Red Sox.
Suck it, Jones.
All of them. All picks. All 43 rounds of them. Next 12 years, the Red Sox get them.
You don't believe Bruce Schwegler? I mean, Dan Duquette?
No, I did. I love that. I love that quote, too.
The Chesapeake Bay usually pushes these storms around. Somehow, the Chesapeake Bay somehow magically pushes the rain out of Camden Yards and around the stadium, and they usually get those games in. That's what Dan Duquette said.
Oh, no. That's his, he must have served time as a meteorologist or something at one point. Like, it's comical what he said. So, yeah, blow out to sea.
Reinstate the home runs and give David Price his no-hitter and me my free furniture.
And I would just like your mic is all I would like. Because, again, Jimmy Stewart has the best-sounding mic in the entire...
I give the best mic in the business.
Seriously.
And I deserve it.
Can we switch mics? Is there an update there, Murray?
Yes. So, Evan Drellick, NBC Sports Boston, talking to Alex Cora just a short time ago, said, when the Red Sox postponed the April 16th Patriots Day game against the Orioles, they did it a day ahead of time. Quote, "We were nice with them, huh? On Marathon Monday, we canceled it on Sunday," end quote. Oh, get over it. Like, they control the weather. Again, this comes down to the fact they just wanted to hurry up and try to get the damn thing in. The team's terrible. They're how many games behind first?
42 and a half.
Yeah, they just want to get it in because they want the season over. It wasn't anything nefarious. They weren't trying to screw the Red Sox. It wasn't anything like that.
Oh, I put nothing past Buck Showalter.
Okay. So Showalter apparently had some comment last, we ended up not getting out there on like that sleet we had to play in Boston or something like that.
Oh, so it's weather wars now between these stupid teams. Oh, my God.
No, you made it harder on us than we made it on you. Yeah, they're spitting at each other. It's good stuff.
Okay, so there's that. Here's Bill in Maryland on Belichick, I guess. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Just wanted to point out an article I remember hearing about. It was over a year ago in April of 17, and the title of the article is "Bill Belichick is only going to bother coaching players that he likes." And Murray can look it up and go through it, but if you look at it, he's basically talking about Malcolm Butler. So I just wanted to bring that to your guys' attention, and I'll get off the phone and let you talk about it if you want.
Yeah, pull over and play dead, Murray. Even the callers got you looking stuff up.
I'm not getting whipped by the callers to look stuff up on the internet now. No, this has gone too far.
Yeah, he said it last April. Maybe Murray can look it up.
I love it.
look it great. Up.
Yeah, Murray, I remember a game in 85. Maybe you could look it up, Murray.
So good. No, but Bill did say, he might have said it to Urban Meyer at a conference or something.
Urban Meyer was saying it at an event he was at about Bill.
Okay, there you go. So there was just, it was sort of a third-hand comment, but where Bill did say something, which isn't totally unusual. Like, we all want to work with people we like. He's a good guy. You want to work with good people. Makes perfect sense. Awfully hard in a room full of 60 guys that come from 60 different backgrounds and 60 different, points of view and 60 different, you're probably not going to like them all. But if he can help you win a championship, you should probably work with them and you should probably play them. So it's just another sort of indication that Bill's ego has gotten in the way of some things here. And that would be one indication of him. We've got Steve in West Roxbury on that Evaldi trade. Would you rather have Evaldi than Zach Britton, Steve? Because that's what Dave Dombrowski said. You could just as easily have had Zach Britton.
I think he was lying so badly, but I think they all lie.
So there you go. But
that was a scorcher.
Yeah, nope. Some people don't like being lied to. Steve in Connecticut has a thought on Josh McDaniels. Go ahead, Steve.
So I believe actually Belichick cares about his legacy and where his legacy kind of seeps into the NFL. So when he thought about him going to the Colts, he gave himself a big Jim worry. Oh, the Colts. And he said, you know what, Tom? Go get your boy. And he let him have it, and they kind of came to the middle and discussed. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, I don't believe that. I think Bill had nothing to do with Josh McDaniels. Nothing.
Same.
Nothing. And they being the team, the owner brought him back twofold because, one, Josh is the next coach, and after just letting the next quarterback go, they couldn't let the next quarterback and the next coach go. So might as well get half of that equation. So Robert said, I need somebody here for if and when Bill flies the coop. So Robert needed protection for the future, and probably more importantly, Tommy wanted him back as a buffer. And so they went and brought him back, and Bill had almost 0.0 to do with it. Now, as Bedard said earlier in the midday, I don't think Bill's upset with it. Like, why would he be? It means less work for him, more continuity on offense. And, I mean, I'm sure Bill doesn't mind. Like, I'm sure he's fine with it. But all things being equal, Bill wouldn't have done it. Bill would have let him go. But it was the owner that brought him back. David in Atkinson. Go ahead, David. What do you got?
How you doing, guys?
We're good. What do you got?
So I was wondering, if you think in Week 10 the Patriots play the Titans, do you think if they expose Malcolm Byers, squashes any of their drama with them?
Squashes nothing. Whether Malcolm Butler turns into anything from this point forward or not does not change what he could have done for you that night in Minneapolis.
Do you think Bill will pick on him?
Sure.
Yep.
And I hope Malcolm has the game of his life.
I mean, to me, he absolutely will pick on him. I don't think there's any question. You know, again, Bill.
With what?
Well, he'll try.
Jordan Matthews?
So what game is it?
It's middle of November.
Yeah, it's like
Week 11, I think, might be.
So Edelman will be back by then, right? Not that Butler will be playing in the slot necessarily, but whatever. Like, you know, to me, they will do something to set him up.
I hope Tennessee's good. You know, the Butler thing's good. Vrabel's the coach of Tennessee. Like, some of Bill's protege, you know, Mangini got him a couple times. It's like, I don't know. Does Vrabel got it? You know, does Vrabel got it? You know, we'll know by that point. But what did Butler do? You gave me the report that Butler had an interception today in camp and, yelled something out. What did you say, Maz?
Yeah, he took a ball away from receiver Corey Davis and then punted it down the field. And I'll see if I can find the exact comment he made. But, he screamed out, bleep, this isn't OTAs. So as if to say, you know, let's
showing
go, boys.
Showing some leadership.
Yeah, time to play, boys. Here we go. It's real camp time.
When asked today if being benched in the Super Bowl is giving a little gas in the tank, most definitely, Butler said, according to TitansInsider.com, I'm very fueled and I've always been this way, but I've got a little extra gas in the tank. So there you go.
617-779-0985. Couple more minutes of your phones before the final word. Pete in Delaware, what do you got for us today?
Hey, guys. You know, where Bill lost credibility with me was with the documentary and the two Bills, that I had to sit here and watch him kiss Parcells' ass, a guy who basically railroaded him, screwed him towards getting the Patriot job. So this same guy can't reach out and be the adult to his quarterback that he's won five Super Bowls with. And I know Brady's not innocent, but you know what? Bill's been down this road before. You've been there. Be the mature adult. And today he had a perfect layup, and he screwed it up again with Brady reporting early. He's just got a needle, people. He just can't move on.
Well, I hear you, but for Bill to promote the fact that Brady showed up early today would have been a blatant lie. Which, again, you know, we've been discussing this all day. Teams do it, and it happens, and da-da-da. But so should Bill be expected to say, yeah, Brady showed up early when he didn't? He just showed up on his reporting day?
Could have talked around it.
He sure could have, yes. He sure could have.
I mean, again, wouldn't be the first time he's ever done that. Like, you know, he could just say, well, you know, we're happy everybody's here, and not made any reference to when they report or when they don't report. You know, just giving your typical nothing Belichick answer. He's the best at doing that, at flapping his gums and saying nothing.
How about Bill telling the truth on something? What is Bill telling the truth on, Ryan?
Yeah, I wanted to explain something. Obviously, like anyone with half a brain, I realized that the reason we lost the Super Bowl was because we benched Malcolm Butler. But I just wanted to throw something that you guys really haven't talked about much out there. So in the playoffs, Butler was playing really poorly, if you remember. The Tennessee game, the Jacksonville game, he was getting torched by Corey Davis, by Allen Hurns. And then leading up to that week, he missed a team flight. Even Malcolm Butler himself, Patricia, Belichick, they all said, you know, that he wasn't caught up on the game plan. So is it possible, and if this is the case, it's even worse than what he did, that they just made a really stupid decision and they are telling the truth and they just benched him?
Yep. And that's what I'm leaning towards. I mean, not everything that you said in the way that you said it, but basically that nothing happened. That nothing happened. The kid was on Bill's bad side for a long time. And it came to a head that week. And when he shows up late for the week, Bill says, F you. That's it. I can win without you. And he almost did, but nothing happened. We're looking for answers that aren't there. The kid got on Bill's bad side, starting with the contract and the money. That's where it started. Then his play didn't back up what he was looking for at the negotiating table. They had to hold his hand off the field during the regular season on some things. He showed up late for that mini camp even early on in his career. Remember, was it the offseason after the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Where he had to miss like the whole mini camp. So he probably not the perfect soldier off the field. And it just came to a point where Bill said, screw you. F you. Take a seat. Cry if you want. I'm going to win without you. And Bill blew it. Bill blew it. Which is one thing to, you know, have that approach going into the year. To still have that approach at halftime when you're giving up, en route to giving up 500 yards to a backup quarterback, you think it would have changed your mind on that one, but he didn't.
I mean, if he had taken the same approach in the Super Bowl against Seattle, Butler never would have been on the field in the first place.
Correctamundo. Correct. Bob in the car, Dave Dombrowski thought. What is it, Bob?
You mean Dumbo. Dumbo, when he told the that they were in on the talks on Zach Britton, did his nose go? Also, listen, this team, they're like the 70s, the 75, 78 team, where they've got all these mashes, and when push comes to shove, they're going to fall one run short.
Okay, that's what these guys think. Murray's got him out in the first round. McCarthy's got him out in the first round. Hook's got him out in the first round. Jimmy would have him losing before the first round if he could, but they're probably going to be in the first round. You got him out in the first round?
No, I'm not doing that yet.
Okay.
Where do you have him out, though, Mass?
I don't know. We'll see. You see what it looks like. But that 75 team, that's a bad comparison.
Yeah, they went to the World Series.
Yeah, that team won a playoff series. They beat the defending world champions in a playoff series. In fact, they swept their ass is what they did. Now, they should have won a World Series when they had that group because that team was stacked for about a 4 or 5 year period. They were loaded, but they didn't win anything. I'm starting to wonder about this group. Because they get a lot of talent, but they haven't won jack squat yet.
The late 70s Red Sox versus the 2000 teens. How would I say that? Whatever. That team and this team. Feel comparison building for the baseball reporters, Maz.
Maybe.
A slow day. I think we got something for you.
That team in the late 70s would have killed this team.
Okay. Speaking of the baseball reporters, it comes your way at 6. Next is the final word where Maz gives his opinion on the current state of Major League Baseball. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Felger
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So a bunch to get to in the final word today. First, with the return of one Tony Maserati after a day off, came his thoughts on the Red Sox, the deals made the last few days by the team and in around Major League Baseball. And we also got his thoughts on the overall state of competition.
I tell you, this is... I'm curious how Maz feels about the state of competition, as you said, in the American... I'm curious how he feels about it. That's a tough watch. Like, that's a tough thing to invest in when one team is 42 and a half games behind the other.
Well, and again, there's been a lot of that. Maybe not as bad as Baltimore, but, like, you go across Kansas City.
Oh, God.
Texas? Texas is 42 and 61. The Royals are 31 and 70. You want to watch a good race in baseball? The Orioles and the Royals. That's a good one. Let's see who can lose the most, because they both suck. The Royals have 70 losses. They're 31 and 70. The Orioles are 29 and 73. The race for the number one pick? Now that's a race. The rest of it? Absolute, complete, total dog crap. The White Sox, 36 and 65. They blow too. Like, how many teams really, really blow? Like, I'm talking suck eggs blow. They're horrendous, these teams. So the Red Sox have this stretch of games against all this absolute Alpo dog food freaking across the league, and it's one series after the next. And you're supposed to get excited that they win a game 8-4? Because that one was reasonably close? It's complete dog food. The league is dog food.
And of course, the baseball report is coming up in just minutes.
It sucks so bad they blow. What was it? They suck eggs so bad they blow?
No, they blow so bad they suck eggs. Seriously, they had a stretch of opponents. Kansas City, Texas, Toronto, Detroit, Baltimore, and now Minnesota. Minnesota looks like the 27 Yankees compared to the rest of those bums. Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
No, it's brutal. I also said my piece on last night's rainout in Baltimore and all the whining surrounding that.
Yeah, I'm pissed, Price said as he left the clubhouse, having pitched only one inning before the game was called by rain.
Yeah, bro. I lost a no-hitter.
It was dry to start. You got to get these damn things in. And that's the whining that I can't deal with. Like, oh, there was some sort of conspiracy behind it, and Buck Showalter knew it was going to be rained out. No, they just want to hurry up and get this effing season over with. These interminable, awful games. Just get it in. Let's see if we can get the 4.5 innings in, 5 innings. Hurry up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. No, they have it out for the Sox. You babies bitching about this last night. Oh, my God. From the team to the fans. Shut up.
Yeah, so I'm not telling you that there was a conspiracy or anything else. I'm just telling you, that game never should have been played last night. That game had zero chance of getting in.
Did I read
zero.
That it stopped raining 20 minutes after they called it?
Yes.
Like it stopped raining for the night?
Yeah, yeah, late. Yeah, it was like 10:30.
10:45, according to the story that I read.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy.
Why does it always rain on me? I got robbed of a win against a crummy team.
And you see, oh, they had their fun, though.
Yeah, Brockstar, hey, go grab the acoustic guitar, bro. Let's kick out some jams to pass the time.
He's on there on social media singing along some terrible country song. Yeah, I don't buy for a second that David Price was actually upset about this. He had to act that way for the media, but of course.
Actually, I couldn't be more pumped about a rainout. Just leaves more time.
Oh, yeah, baby. Time for some battle royal action. Get up in here, Benny and JBJ. We'll show them what real rain's all about. We've rained down some bullets.
You know he loves that Fortnite.
Oh, definitely. I bet you he was in there playing during the delay.
No question.
Finally today, apparently Carlton from Norwell tried to call in for the third straight day, but our other intern, Matt, was not having it.
I disagree with you, but okay. Thanks. That wasn't going anywhere. Oh, I hung up on him. Oh, what a shame.
Good job, Matt.
And there you go.
Good job. Matt's got a sneaky Boston accent back there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, a little bit. He's got a wicked one.
It ain't Matt in Framingham. That's an all-timer.
Oh, God,
like,
please.
That is...
No, oof. No, he's Hall of Fame, Matt.
Where's this Matt from? Where are you from? From?
Medfield.
Yeah, there you go. There it is. Still a little hint of it. Still got it.
A hint? Yeah, a little more than that.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.